Chris in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks for tuning in. My name is Chris. This show is going to be about Zeitgeist Addendum, or Zeitgeist 2. If you are familiar, me and Frank Lordy of the Revelations Radio Network were the creators of the Zeitgeist Challenge at zeitgeistchallenge.com. So naturally, we were interested about what Zeitgeist 2 Addendum was going to be about. And so the other night, we were watching it. Well, obviously, he's in Jersey and I'm in Tennessee, but we were messaging back and forth as we were watching it. It became kind of clear what was happening with the movie. So we did some subsequent research and then did an article, which we spread around the internet, and then I just got done making a video out of the article. So I'll play the audio from that video, but I would encourage you to, again, watch the actual video itself. It'll be linked in the show notes section of this episode, which will be at nowheretorunradio.com, but you can also go to YouTube or Google Video and type in, I think it's called Zeitgeist Addendum NWO Propaganda, so that'll take you to the video itself. So here we go. And also I'm going to play after this a review from Alex Jones on the movie as well. He has a really good and thorough take on dissecting the movie. I am, however, a little upset with Mr. Jones right now. I just spent a good part of the day trying to call into the Alex Jones show because he had Michael Tesarian on. And if you listen to the end of that show, it says, apologize to Chris, and somebody. I think I might have been next in line, or at least another Chris was next in line. But anyway, they were talking about something I was just chomping at the bit to get in about, which was Sarian's belief that essentially Akhenaten was Moses, which he gets from Sigmund Freud, which doesn't jive with the actual religion of Akhenaten, or as he calls it, Atenism. And Jones was agreeing with him, so I just couldn't believe that they were overlooking the big elephant in the room, so I was a little upset for not being able to get in there, because obviously the implications are that if that's true, then the Bible was written by the Luciferian elitists to control our minds. But I encourage you to check out J.P. Holding's writing on that. People like David Roll? And Dr. Michael Heiser on it. It's just, they really trash the entire idea. Even some of the most prominent people on Atenism are quite shocked that people like Sigmund Freud would make the, I mean, Sigmund Freud's no Egyptologist, clearly, but or anthropologist, but anyway, I guess I'm getting off track there. So I'll go ahead and play the clip from this movie, and if you want to, you can check out the movie, as I said, on Google Video or YouTube Video. And there's also a link to download it in WMV format if you want to add it to your YouTube channel or to torrents or whatever. You have my permission to do that with any of my videos. And a link to all my videos in WMV format can be found at nowheretorunradio.com. So without any further ado, I'll play the audio from this, I think it's about 13 or 14 minute video, and then I'll play the audio from Alex Jones' critique on the same movie. This is going to start off with somebody talking from the movie Zeitgeist Addendum. And the reason it's in there is because if you're watching the movie, he's holding, or somebody's holding their fingers up in a pyramid and pointing it towards the sun as they're saying what they're saying. So it's just really interesting symbolism. And so that's, if you're wondering what is happening at the very beginning of this clip, it's kind of lost in translation from the video. So here we go.
Reality, but the fact of the matter is joy comes from that bliss of connectedness. That's our God spirit. That's that side of ourselves that really feels it. And you can feel it deep inside you. It's this amazing, wonderful feeling. And you know it when you get it. You don't get it from money. You get it from connection.
Timing is everything. On September 29th, the United States stock market crashed, falling 777 points. Just in time for the fallout, a worldwide financial collapse, the movie Zeitgeist Addendum was released. The film, right on cue, explains the obvious, how a flawed financial system failed, and how it exploited the hard work, savings, and investments of all those that lost their money to this system. It simultaneously heaps the blame on free markets and religion, while calling for a global shift in consciousness. This new paradigm is, of course, an old paradigm. It's an open call for socialism. One need look no further than Karl Marx to see parallels between Zeitgeist Addendum's linking a distaste for free markets and religion. This should set off some rather loud alarm bells in the midst of patriotic and freedom-loving Americans. Most of those that have been actively observing the global elite have likewise understood that a pre-planned financial crash has been in the works for some time. Nicolas Sarkozy, president of the European Union, says that he wants a new global economic system to rise out of the ashes of this crash, which, in his own words, is expressed as a new world order. Zeitgeist Addendum seems to further the cause of this new world order neo-socialist paradigm, with American politicians and representatives ignoring the masses and passing off the debt of banks onto the general public. One can see the seeds of a new world socialism emerging right here in America. It's no coincidence that just as the New World Order begins implementing Marxist thought in so-called free countries, Zeitgeist Addendum shows up to incite the masses in a global call for Marxism. If one should prefer to save 2 hours and skip watching Zeitgeist Addendum, its proposals are clearly spelled out in a relatively unknown book entitled The Externalization of the Hierarchy, written by Alice Bailey in 1934. Bailey claimed to have channeled an ascended master known as the Tibetan or Dzogchen Kul, who supposedly penned the book through her. Bailey was also the founder of the Theosophical Lucifer Trust, later changed to Lucius Trust. Please note that the solution to the faltering global economy offered by Zeitgeist Addendum is the Venus Project. Venus, also known as the Morning Star, is synonymous with the term Lucifer. Some highlights from Bailey's The Externalization of the Hierarchy include the following. The problem of money will have to be faced. The problem of the distribution of wealth, whether natural or human, will need careful handling, and a compromise reached between those nations which possess unlimited resources and those who have few or none. The problem of the varying forms of national government must be faced with courage and insight. The restoration, psychological, spiritual, and physical of mankind must constitute a primary responsibility. The sense of security must be put on a firm basis, the basis of a right relationship, and not the basis of force. Men must feel secure because they are seeking to develop international goodwill. Bailey's externalization of the hierarchy also includes specifics as to the nature of the New World Order, and the following are just some of the links between Bailey's work and Zeitgeist Addendum. The New World Order will recognize that the produce of the world, the natural resources of the planet, and its riches belong to no one nation, but should be shared by all. There will be no nations under the category haves, and others under the opposite category. A fair and properly organized distribution of wheat, the oil, and the mineral wealth of the world will be developed, based upon the needs of each nation, upon its own internal resources, and the requirements of its people. All this will be worked out in relation to the whole. The New World Order will be founded on the recognition that all men are equal in origin and goal, but that all are at different stages of evolutionary development, that personal integrity, intelligence, vision, and experience, plus a marked goodwill, should indicate leadership. The domination of the proletariat over the aristocracy and the bourgeoisie, as in Russia, or the domination of an entrenched aristocracy over the proletariat and middle classes, as has been until lately the case in Great Britain, must disappear. The control of labor by capital, or the control of capital by labor, must also go. In the New World Order, the governing body in any nation should be composed of those who work for the greatest good of the greatest number. The New World Order will be founded on an active sense of responsibility. The rule will be all for one and one for all. This attitude among nations will have to be developed. It is not yet present. In the preparatory period for the New World Order, there will be a steady and regulated disarmament. It will not be optional. No nation will be permitted to produce and organize any equipment for the destructive purposes or to infringe on the security of any other nation. One of the first tasks of any future peace conference will be to regulate this matter and gradually see to the disarming of the nations. The Venus Project, founded by Jacques Fresco, upon first glance it appears similar to one of the multitude of ill-fated hippie communes of the 1960s, but upon further study, it too is rooted in the same New World Order, occult, theosophical belief structure. Quoting from their website, "One of the basic premises of the Venus Project is that we work towards having all of the Earth's resources as the common heritage of all the world's people. Anything less will simply result in a continuation of the same catalog of problems inherent in the present system." This is exactly what Bailey wrote in The Externalization of the Hierarchy. The links between the Venus Project and the essence of secret societies does, however, run even deeper than a call for communistic sharing of world resources. 33rd degree Masonic author Manly P. Hall said of America's link to the New Atlantis, "The New Atlantis sets forth an ideal government of the earth. It foretells that day when in the midst of men there shall rise up a vast institution composed of the philosophic elect, an order of illumined men band together for the purpose of investigating the laws of life and the mysteries of the universe. The age of boundaries is closing, and we are approaching a nobler era when nations shall be no more, when the lines of race and caste shall be wiped out, when the whole earth shall be under one order, one government, one administrative body." Manly P. Hall, alongside Rosicrucians like Francis Bacon, clearly defined the New World Order's drive to recreate Atlantis. And this theme clearly resurfaces in Fresco's architecture, specifically his circular city. The circular city image is one that is notably comparable to artistic versions of Atlantis based on Plato's descriptions of the sunken city. Another warning sign of Fresco's New World Order mentality is his desire to see technology steering mankind's destiny. Many patriots shiver at the idea of biometric identification, specifically the idea of implantable microchips that could be used to track and control humans in a way up until recently was only envisioned in the Bible. Fresco's vision for the future of humanity goes well beyond that of a simple microchip implant. He foresees humanity needing to merge with machine or else risk de-evolution. He says, "When biological technology becomes further advanced, human beings as we know them will become a modified species. If we as human beings fail to include the possibility of this development in our overall social evolution, we will witness the decline of our species." These are not mere coincidences. While seemingly revolutionary in thought, Fresco and his school of thought, as espoused by the Zeitgeist vision of rebellion against the system, are part and parcel of the same social upheaval being called for, not by humanitarians, but by those who have been planning for the New World Order from its earliest stages. It should also be noted that Zeitgeist Addendum begins and ends with speaking from Krishnamurti, who was raised from boyhood by the Theosophical Society to be a, quote, world teacher. And even though he broke from the group after declining to be their messiah, he maintained a friendly relationship with them, by most accounts. This is not unlike others within the, quote, truth movement, such as Michael Tsarian, who openly admits he was, from an early age, taught by Theosophists, if not raised by them. His connections to the group are quite interesting. See the links in the description section of this video for information and references to this and other things that we've discussed here. The peculiar affinity with the occult is nothing out of the ordinary with Zeitgeist. Part 1 of the initial Zeitgeist film was partially based on the work of a man that loved Theosophy so much that he apparently named himself Jordan Maxwell after Helena Blavatsky's Jordanus Maximus. Helena Blavatsky was the founder of the Theosophical Society. See also the movie Debunking Jordan Maxwell for more on this. Before discounting the political power of Theosophy and its desire to infiltrate the truth-seekers, you need to understand its concept of seed groups. These groups were sent forth to work in stealth, so as to be nurtured without competition from those that would see them for what they truly are. When one wonders how or why anyone offering truth about the occult could in fact be part of the New World Order, they need look no further than Alice Bailey. one of the most specific goals of the Theosophist, as dictated by the externalization of the hierarchy, is the following: the education of the advanced thinkers, of the aspirants and world disciples in applied knowledge, expressed wisdom, and occult understanding. This group synthesizes all that is available in the other two groups, and thus forms the nucleus of the Kingdom of God, of the Fifth Kingdom, which is so rapidly coming into being. According to Theosophy, starting with its founder Blavatsky, God in the Kingdom of God is really Lucifer. This is Luciferian theology, not Christian doctrine. This is what Madame Blavatsky wrote in her book, The Secret Doctrine. The devil is now called darkness by the church, whereas in the Bible he is called Son of God, the bright star of the early morning, Lucifer. There is a whole philosophy of dogmatic craft in the reason why the first archangel who sprang from the depths of chaos was called Lux, Lucifer, the luminous son of the morning, or man, Vanteric Dawn. He was transformed by the church into Lucifer or Satan because he is higher or older than Jehovah and had to be sacrificed to the new dogma. Zeitgeist Addendum held over one central theme from its predecessor, that Jesus was and is just another form of all the other gods of antiquity. Unfortunately, in Zeitgeist's extensive reference material webpage and or reference book, there is nothing that specifically backs up any of these claims. There are, in fact, $1,000 and $250 unclaimed cash prizes available for people that can prove the claims of Zeitgeist Part 1. I will link those also in the description section of this video. There's actually a very good practical reason why Theosophy and the New World Order want to discredit one particular religion. I'll link a YouTube video from a non-Christian that I feel sums it up nicely in the description section of this movie as well. It's titled, They Are Misleading You. It should be noted that a critical thinker can't help but to agree with many of the practical points and issues raised in Zeitgeist Addendum. It is, however, so very important to be cautious about who we as truth seekers run to while trying to seek understanding in these confusing times. The key to understanding why the New World Order has chosen to expose itself lies in Bailey's externalization of the hierarchy. It says, the New World Order must be appropriate to a world which has passed through a destructive crisis, and to a humanity which is badly shattered by the experience. The New World Order must lay the foundation for a future world order, which will be possible only after a time of recovery or reconstruction and of rebuilding. You know about Bohemian Grove. You know the signs and symbols that prove the elitists are working towards a new world order and are part of a Luciferian death cult. Now, you need to ask yourself why those working to expose the new world order are also linked to the same Luciferian and occult beliefs. The new world order seems to have merged to play the scapegoat for the order that will follow it. The second world order is the Theosophist Kingdom of God. Blavatsky told us who their God is. It is Lucifer. And how better a way to have a Luciferian Antichrist arrive on the scene? To be taken seriously by all as he crushes the New World Order, seemingly rescuing all of humanity from the clutches of its tyrannical all-seeing eye. Beware the New World Order.
This is Guys 2, or Addendum, came out. Very slickly done. The guy works in TV in New York, doesn't even let his real name be known. But he made it on his off time. And the new one sounds great. Sounds good. The new Zeitgeist. But I wanted to just play a couple segments of it and then piece by piece go through it and get you to look from another perspective at what the bleeding hearts in the piece are saying and doing. And if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, we're going to be punching it up on screen and playing clips from here. But so there's better audio, we'll be playing the audio from up in Minnesota. We'll go ahead and put it up on screen now. We're not going to play it quite yet. I don't want people to be able to look at it. So I'm going to play clips of this, and then we're going to stop it for the rest of the hour. And I'm going to make a point here, a point there on it. We're going to go to break in a couple minutes, but let's go ahead and start now playing the first few minutes of Part 9. It's broken into like 13 parts this new addendum he put out. Now, and I'm going to get the maker on about this because I believe he means well, but actually a lot of the stuff being talked about here was said by Karl Marx and Engels and others. And they need to understand the globalists are aware of this. They're going on a different path of this. So let's go ahead and start playing it.
The prevailing means of transportation in our societies is by automobile and aircraft, both of which predominantly need fossil fuels to run. In the case of the automobile, the battery technology needed to power an electric car that can go over 100 miles an hour for over 200 miles on one charge exists and has existed for many years. However, due to battery patents controlled by the oil industry, which limits their availability to maintain market share, coupled with political pressure from the energy industry, the accessibility and affordability of this technology is limited. There is absolutely no reason other than pure corrupt profit interest that every single vehicle in the world cannot be electric and utterly clean with zero need for gasoline.
Okay. As far as hit pause there. Okay. It's not just greed. The globalists aren't greedy for money. They issue and print the money. They're greedy for centralization and control. If the patents get out for solar panels they've had for more than a decade that produce, in some cases, 10 times what the best ones available do now, that decentralizes their power. Okay? It's about power. It's about centralizing power through commodities they control. And so, see, this film says a lot of good, true things, but then connects those to false solutions. Or solutions that can be twisted. We'll be right back after this break with more of Zeitgeist Addendum. I'm Alex Jones. Okay, let's go ahead and punch up Zeitgeist Addendum and continue analyzing it. Go ahead and roll it.
As far as airplanes, it is time we realize that this means of travel is inefficient, cumbersome, slow, and causes far too much pollution. This is a maglev train. It uses magnets for propulsion. It is fully suspended by a magnetic field and requires less than 2% of the energy used for plane travel. The train has no wheels, so nothing can wear out. The current maximum speed of versions of this technology, as used in Japan, is 361 miles per hour. However, this version of the technology is very dated. An organization called ET3, which has connections with the Venus Project, has established a tube-based maglev that can travel up to 4,000 miles per hour in a motionless, frictionless tube, which can go over land or underwater. Imagine going from L.A. to New York for an extended lunch break, or from Washington, D.C. to Beijing, China in 2 hours. This is the future of continental and intercontinental travel. Fast, clean, with only a fraction of the energy usage we use today for the same means. In fact, between maglev technology, advanced battery storage, and geothermal energy, there would be no reason to ever burn fossil fuels again. And we can do this now if we were not held back by the paralyzing profit structure.
All right, hit pause. It's not a paralyzing profit structure. Great profits could be made in this. It would just decentralize things. And so you have a two-tiered system. Much of this has already been built and designed, and a lot of it's secret. Part of it is not secret. And so that's where the hundreds of trillions of dollars, it's hundreds of trillions spent by the West in secret projects have gone. They have a high-tech civilization above the general growth rate of the suppressed technological system that we're in. And again, you have endless talk about, oh my God, these horrible profit people. No, it's done for consolidation. Then the profits flow. If we start talking about a high-tech society without profits, that means everyone's, quote, equal. But that means there's always a group above you that's going to be handing out things to, quote, the people that are equal. So you're not really equal, and human nature doesn't work that way. Okay, so you just continue to hear this profit's bad, profit, you know, ownership's bad, is what it comes down to. Keep rolling it.
Now, America is inclined toward fascism. It has a propensity by its dominant philosophy and religion to uphold the fascist point of view. American industry as essentially a fascist institution. If you don't understand that, the minute you punch that time clock, you walk into a dictatorship.
We're given notions about the respectability of work, and I really look at it as being paid slavery.
All right, let's stop right there. Just like with Marx and Engels 100-and-something years ago, they always have these little technocrats up that say, oh, it's the religious people, it's fascism, America is bad. But you talk to the elitist, and you look at what the UN's saying, they're all saying the same stuff. Okay? So they sell something that sounds great, and they always sandwich their new command and control system in with all the stuff they wow you with, all this high tech. And they say America is fundamentally fascist, when the globalists created fascism and communism, two different systems to consolidate top-down. Let's continue.
They're brought up to believe that you shall earn your living by the sweat of your brow. That holds people back, freeing people from drudgery, repetitive jobs which make them ignorant.
All right, I pause again. Working and owning your own business or creating paintings or machinery or whatever it is you're into, that is uplifting and people want to work and want to build or they're totally unhappy. But mixing, see, they make work sound bad by comparing it to factory assembly line labor. So see, they're oversimplifying all of this. Continue.
Rob, in our society that is a resource-based economy, machines free people. You see, we can't imagine that because we've never known that kind of world.
All right, hit pause. The elite know that what they talked about 100 years ago, what Marx talked about, was partially true. Just his way to implement was wrong. With machinery, with the robotics, with all of this, we can have fabulous wealth, individual wealth. But the elite, again, are only using machinery to consolidate things, and now they've gotten to the point, because of the robotics, that they're shutting down the old free market economy and then just saying we're all going to be basically serfs and slaves, not using increased production to empower us, but using increased production by select technical systems to actually make humans themselves obsolete and not empower us. Whereas they're saying the machines would empower us, it's the opposite. It's being used to enslave us. We'll be right back after this quick break to continue. Stay with me.
I hear the train coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom prison.
And time keeps dragging on.
But that train...
Okay, I want to finish up with analyzing these Zeitgeist clips. I hope I can do it in the time we have left. Again, it was Christians who ended slavery in this country. It was Christians who said no in Europe and England. And so you've got people who misinterpret the Bible or did things with it were bad, you know, did things with it were good, but just always the message that it's Christians' fault, America's bad, and then mixing it in with a bunch of fancy technology when it has nothing to do with it. And they're not even addressing that the elite have already built these advanced technologies in spacecraft and trains. They're just using it all in their secret programs. And they're going to use all this high tech against us. Let's go ahead and keep playing it.
If we look back at history, we see a very clear pattern of machine automation slowly replacing human labor. From the disappearance of the elevator man to the near full automation of an automobile production plant. The fact is, as technology grows, the need for humans in the workforce will continually be diminished. This creates a serious clash, which proves the falseness of the monetary-based labor system. For human employment is in direct competition with technological development. Therefore, given the fundamental priority of profit by industry, people, through time, will be continually laid off and replaced by machines.
Stop there. The problem is, humans are hierarchical by their very nature, like dogs or parrots or most other active creatures, but much more advanced. And so someone isn't going to want to design a new computer or design a new algorithm or an idea or a new phone system, or if they can't, quote, sell it, We're competitive. We're not honeybees or ants that are communal creatures. So what happens is every time the public sold on this utopia of Valhalla, it's used by the controllers, the master planners, to set up an even more stratified society. A true free market will create the greatest equity and the greatest diversity. What are you seeing now? Socialism being used by the bankers who use crony false capitalism through government to bankrupt the economy and suck it under their control. So this is just the classic stuff that Marx and Engels had to say, and it is true with all the new technological developments that we could empower ourselves, have much safer working conditions, not have all the toxic waste and junk, and that humans then need goals like going to space and then corporations being funded to do that, and not wasting our money on wars and fighting. And so they call for in this film a world government to implement the end of war and all this peace. But that's what the globalists said 100 years ago. So they funded World War I, and they bragged, they funded it to scare people into accepting the utopia. Oh, we have to scare them to do what we want. No, they wanted to have wars and consolidate power. And then, World War II they staged. That's declassified. To, again, get their United Nations. Then they hand out nuclear weapons to Pakistan and others to, again, have to have their police state. So I'm all for a planetary federation, but with sovereign, independent, diverse countries that act as firewalls to corruption. And then if they all want to go vote on planetary directives and ideas and space exploration or technological agreements, but still, the section of the train in the U.S. is owned by the U.S., and the section of the train in England is owned by England. The section of the train in China is owned by China. And if the people pay for it, it's got to be in law that it didn't hand it over to some corporation, because they become government. So, again, they just simplify this so much, and it totally sells weak-minded people, and it's very dangerous, because he gets into, competition will be eradicated, profit will be eradicated. Oh, who's going to eradicate? You're going to force. That's hardcore tyranny. Back to the clip.
When industry takes on the machine, instead of shortening the workday, they downsize. You lose your job. So you have a right.
All right, pause. No, what happens is corporations fool us to downsize 50 years ago, putting a thank you on the trash can and using peer pressure and our gentlemanliness to throw away the tray of McDonald's food. Then everybody adopts it. Then you get no service and end up paying as much or more. Just like everything was self-service, cars lasted longer, people filled them up, they were taken care of, you got service, it gave people entry-level jobs, but then you accepted them phasing that out. So no, we demand higher service. We demand higher quality. We demand, you see, and you're going to still need technicians to run all this. This system would stagnate overnight if they were able to do this. Now, the globalists do plan to set this up and call it a utopia. It's going to be a technocracy over us. We're in this sub-area below, and you got these technological spires with the technocrats above, where they eradicate our normal instincts for peace. But the elite gets to keep its instinct of domination. No, good people have to combine together against other powerful groups of evil people to keep a level playing field so we can have our liberty. This is a very dangerous film. Let's go back to it.
In a high-technology, resource-based economy, it is conservative to say that about 90% of all current occupations could be phased out by machines, freeing humans to live their life without servitude.
All right, let's hit pause.
So this is the point.
Freeing humans to not own their own businesses, freeing humans to not have to strive and work, to be on Prozac watching TV all day and wire-headed into the Matrix. That's why they wrote Why the Future Doesn't Need Us for Wired Magazine, where the elites say, because of this, they don't need us anymore, so they're just going to kill us. And then that's the eugenics idea that goes back to Malthus 250 years ago. Here it is.
For this is the point of technology itself. And through time, with nanotechnology and other highly advanced forms of science, it is not far-fetched to see how even complex medical procedures could be performed by machines as well. And based on the pattern, with much higher success rates than humans get today.
Well, they're already. Hit pause. See, there's the implication that this technology isn't being somewhat deployed and that machines aren't already doing some of the surgeries. But the problem is they're suppressing the real developments and the public's not getting that. And they've also collateralized the healthcare system into derivatives, so they're ripping you off to make investments because the insurance companies are cheating you. So, of course, we're going to be able to have longer life. But the elite want to freeze the technological development with the fake green revolution, with the new carbon taxes and the regulations, so that we don't get access to this. It's meant to kill economies right at the point when we're about to be freed by the technology. Back to it.
But our monetary-based structure, which requires labor for income, blocks this progress. For humans need jobs in order to survive. The bottom line is that this system must...
Hit pause. Humans have had to hunter-gather. They've had to have agrarian. They've had city-states. This is how we're designed. So, see, the idea is they're eradicating money, yeah, that means your family farm. That means your family patents. This is theft. And there's always control freaks pushing this. Back to it.
Never be free, and technology will be constantly paralyzed.
We have machines that clean out sewers. It frees a human being from doing that. So look at machines as extensions of human performance.
Furthermore, many occupations today will have simply no basis to exist in a resource-based economy, such as anything associated with the management of money, advertising, along with the legal system itself. For without money, a great majority of the crimes that are committed today would never occur.
Hit pause. The system knows that. That's why they make drugs illegal, to then control the black market and make larger profits and have an excuse to criminalize 87% of the public that smokes marijuana or has smoked it. 87% of drug users, that's about half the public, only smoke marijuana. And so the idea that criminal minds won't move on to other things that are illegal. They're criminal because they like to be criminal and because there's profits to be made in things that are illegal, like currency. That would then be illegal. No, then you wouldn't have money to defend yourself. Then you're at the whim of whoever runs this system. Then they'll say, well, committees will. You imagine all the control freak, lazy wannabes that want to move into your houses, that want your life. And then there's still going to be better looks. There's still going to be stronger people. There's still going to be stuff they want. So how do they standardize that? Well, the packs of scum come and kill you is what they do. Somebody's always going to want your wife. Somebody's always going to want your business. Somebody's always going to want what you got. And it's these people that want it. Here we go.
All forms of crime are a consequence of the monetary system, either directly or by neuroses inflicted through financial deprivation.
Therefore, oh, really? Oh, stop. Statistically, psychopaths are more well-to-do. Statistically, a lot of crime comes out of boredom. Idle hands, the devil's workshop. This just isn't true. Continue with it.
...selves could eventually become extinct.
Instead of putting up a sign, drive carefully, slippery when wet, put abrasive in the highway so it's not slippery when wet. And if a person gets in a car, they're drunk, and the car oscillates a great deal.
Wait a minute. How does somebody work and service the machines and fill them with aggregate, fill them to go cover the roads? Or how does someone work to design the roads as an architect and get paid? Oh, but machines run everything. So now we turn our entire... Just like people could calculate better, they could spell better before spell checkers, before calculators. I'm not saying get rid of them. My point is you're talking about a bunch of blob jellyfish, like out of WALL-E. You've seen that movie, floating around on the holodeck of some cruise ship. I mean, this is unbelievable. Back to it.
Pendulum that swings up and back, and that'll pull the car over to the side. Not a law. Solution. Put sonar and radar in automobiles so they can't hit one another. Man-made laws are attempts to deal with...
Yeah, hit pause. Again, the technocrats will make laws through the computers that you can't drive your car yourself. That way you'll be safe. See? This is what the Pentagon says. We're going to put you in a tank with a wire head, no more war, no more nothing, and if perception's reality, you're going to love the wonderful life you've got in cyberspace, so you don't, you know, you're going to be emplaced in this. Go to the next clip, because I'm not going to have time to play all. I'm going to go back into this part two tomorrow. The AC's broken here in the office, and in Texas it's still hot, and I'm sweating, and show's almost over. Go to part two, and because I want you to hear this guy, you know, this futurist with all the spaceships in the background behind him, like, oh, boy, that's what the communists would do. They'd show you spaceships and say, now we're going to have this wonderful utopia. No more work. After we line you up and shoot you in the back of the head. Of course, this guy, this intelligentsia guy, is the one they'll kill first. Because the bleeding hearts will go, this wasn't my plan, as soon as it's implemented. And John, I'm losing my ISDN line here on my end, so go ahead and reconnect with the other one. And then we'll fade that up, please, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. I don't know how long this one will hold in Minnesota. Go ahead and go to the next clip. And then a few minutes into this, he talks about money, competition, jobs. You know, they're going to be eradicated. You're not going to be able to open up a hot dog shop if you want. Well, who makes the hot dogs? Who has the meat? Who raises the cows? It destroys the diversity of the beautiful free market system that the socialist controllers, the bankers, have taken over, and then they ruin it and then blame what they've done on us. Activism doesn't work, even with a high-tech overlay. In fact, it will create the greatest forms of tyranny, as we're now seeing. Go ahead and go to the next clip. You got it ready? Here is the next clip.
Patriotism, weapons, armies, navies, all that is a sign that we're not civilized yet. Kids will ask...
Now, hit pause.
Didn't...
All that is a sign that we are humans that are warlike, and there's always evil people that want to dominate us. And yes, when we build up a weapon system, a lot of times it ends up being used against us, so we've got to limit it like the Founding Fathers said and protect liberty and prosecute corruption. But see, the UN wants all our guns, and they're the only ones that are going to have them, a monopoly of power. So see, oh, we're barbarous. Go back to it.
Yeah. Kids will ask their parents... Didn't you see the necessity of the machines? Dad, couldn't you see that war was inevitable when you produce scarcity? Isn't it obvious? Of course the kid will understand that you were pinheads raised merely to serve the established institutions. We're such an abominable, sick society that we won't make the history of it.
All right, hit pause.
Just say that...
Hit pause. What he's saying is exactly what the elites are implementing. They're using the technology to fully take over and remove humans from the equation, but to dominate us and control us. Instead, he's saying, no, accelerate this so we'll be empowered. That's not what's going to happen. Just sit back and watch what develops. Go ahead.
Make the history book. They just say that large nations took land from smaller nations, used force and violence. You'll get history talked about as corrupt behavior all the way along. Until the beginning of the civilized world. That's when all the nations worked together. World unification, working toward common good for all human beings, and without anyone being subservient to anyone else.
Oh, yeah.
Without social stratification, whether it be technical elitism or any other kind of elitism, eradicated from the face of the earth.
Back that up. Back that up 20 seconds. Back that up, because I want you to hear that carefully. Who is going to enforce no social strata of any type eradicated?
...and violence. You'll get history talked about as corrupt behavior all the way along until the beginning of the civilized world. That's when all the nations work together. World unification, working toward common good for all human beings, and without anyone being subservient to anyone else. Without social stratification, whether it be technical elitism or any other kind of elitism, eradicated from the face of the earth.
Eradicated. Eradicated. John, have you connected the other ISDN? Because I can't continue here. It's blasting in my ears.
Actually, that's being used. We can switch over to the access unit.
Switch over to the access unit. I can't do this.
Okay.
All right, here we go, folks. I mean, as things get more complex, it allows centralization by elites to dominate, and the public aren't specialists, but in a few areas individually, and so can't grasp it. And so this is a hellish trap humanity's making for itself. I am for technological development, but I am for education, open free market, the opposite of what we are seeing out of this. The opposite of what we're hearing from this. I'm going to analyze this more. I was watching this last night. It was just blowing me away. They're going to eradicate the classes. Oh, look out, man. Oh, my God. The communists killed over 150 million people. And they show people spaceships and fancy machines and everything they were going to do. And Katie barred the door. And what are the bankers doing? The same thing right now. They're selling the same thing to the children. The bankers get taught what they want in schools, and they teach this unification, world government, coming together under them, though. And this is how they pacify the huge throngs, the masses, and it's so sick. And then the exceptional get punished. The people that save and work hard but aren't corrupt, they get punished. And then the exceptional who are evil, they get to run everything. Not these delusional pipe dreams that we are witnessing here. All right, final segment coming up, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll continue tracking and covering all of this. Stay with me. Folks, I'm going to take some time. I'm going to get the maker of this film on, and I'm going to ask him some questions. I don't think they're bad. People always fall for the same tricks. And it's true that advanced technologies, automation, robotics, can just absolutely empower humanity. There can be surgeons and technicians already now with very inexpensive mass-produced machinery to get people better health care, all of it. But the elite says all of that and says that the main crowd pushing the agenda of what you just heard are the globalists selling their minions with this. That's kind of the religion that the UN, and we can play Walter Cronkite saying the same thing, you know, global governance, world unification. People don't want to be unified. It's going to be done by the sword, and there's going to be no nation to stand against the tyranny that runs it. And power corrupts absolutely, folks. Power corrupts absolutely. Power corrupts absolutely. The true quote by Lord Acton was, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so it doesn't work. The social planners, you look what they've done. They seize your children. They build prisons. It's horrible. The control freaks cannot be turned loose through the technocracy. And that is what's happening. But I know that these guys have a lot of laudable goals and things here. When you start talking about eradicating money and any form of class, that means a bum on the street that's got a nicer jacket has got to give his jacket up to somebody else. Can you imagine the hellishness of that? So the globalists are masters. They're blaming free market on what's happening now. That's not what's happening. Government took the pension funds. Government set up Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They did all of this. Government's giving the bankers all the currency right now. You notice these socialists are never going to say just give direct money right to the people. Give land, no strings attached, right to the people. That's a free market socialism. To say take all the government lands and just give, however many acres there are broken up to American citizens. Take the tens of millions of acres, take half the tens of millions of acres that are just in the West, and just give it each to American citizens. Well, the argument is, and it's a true one, a lot of people wouldn't want it, wouldn't want to take care of it, wouldn't care. But then people who wanted it, but then the government would corrupt that process of giving the land out. Regardless, it'd still be better than nothing. Yeah, you want to come out here and get a claim, you want to come out here and put a fence up around this, you can have it. That's true free market. Taking over the socialist cake and then dividing it. You want decentralization, you want local economies. That's what you want, not this mega centralization. And you use the machines to empower the people that way, but then locals own the machines and do what they want with it.